Bird.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Today's date is Sunday, May 30th, 2021. It is shiny and bright and beautiful. Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm looking. No, it's actually cloudy. I like the clouds. That's okay if we can deal with that. Hey, it's the special day, right? You know, you've been working on this day. It's coming up, and, here it is. You know what day it is? It's the day of the Indy 500. Haven't you been waiting all year for this? Man, I used to love racing. You know, that stuff was just in my blood. I'd see every single race that was out there. But, you know, it just turned into, man, that's just irrelevant. And I like to watch the cars, and I like the horsepower and all that. And I don't want to get talking about cars. But the reason I actually know this is I was just visiting a website out on the internet called Go Fast Motorsport. It's owned by a guy named Rick Kaler, right? And he is very instrumental in, well, the alternate media for everything that I know. He's been selling satellite systems for, 15, 20 years, maybe longer. I don't know. But up there in the sky, you know, high above us, there's a bird called Galaxy 19, and it's an old school satellite. Ain't no fancy thing like, you know, Tesla's little drone hanging above, zapping you with whatever. No, it's a traditional KU band system. And the funny thing about these satellite systems is you buy it once, you point it up there, and you can listen to Republic Broadcasting. You can listen to a number of other Patriot Radio networks too, so you're not isolated, and Alan talks about it an awful lot. You can watch television streams from, is it propaganda from other countries? Yes, but corporate United States has its propaganda too. You can pay for this. Is free to air. You know, Rick's satellite's very important. I'm going to be talking a little bit in the second hour about satellite radio and Patriot Radio, and we always talk about that. So I wanted to kind of do that primer. If you're interested in not listening to RBN on the internet, I would probably recommend contacting Rick Kaler over at Rick's Satellite. You know, you can call him up at 816-228-1801. Tell him Alan from Fredericksburg sent you. You know, he'd get a hoot out of that. Morning, Alan. How are you?
I am good, Steve. Yeah, Rick and his wife, Bobby, they do something called good customer service, which is very weird in today's world. Very nice people. If you talk to either one of them, they're great people. You got a problem with your system, he'll talk you through it. He'll help you out any way he can.
Yeah. You know, I've never bought anything from them, but I've called them so many times, you know, helping other people with their free-to-air satellite system. And, you know, we've troubleshot your systems and stuff like that. And it's amazing. I do believe that the world's better when we have people that actually care.
And Steve, you were talking about the Indy 500 being today. I wonder, are they going to have cardboard cutouts for fans in the stands and fake cheering and stuff, you know, piped in, and the drivers will be wearing double face diapers on them, on their faces, while they're driving 200 miles an hour around the track so the COVIDs can't catch them?
This car is faster than COVID. Dun, dun, dun.
No, I don't believe that.
I have no idea. I don't
know. COVID is all powerful, Steve. The COVID is everywhere. It can get you anywhere. Beware.
You know, someday, Alan, instead of having race cars, they're just going to have computers, and they're just all going to, we'll VPN together and mesh.
The AI will be battling itself.
Yeah, exactly. This is the AI's alternate ego. Oh, it's pretty funny. But another reason I brought up Rick and Rick's satellite is the whole alternate media, how do we say it? The ecosystem is weird and hard to understand how everybody communicates. You know, there are certain hosts that we've talked to, certain hosts we don't talk to, and we don't talk to for a reason or anything like this. And I'm not sure if I'm going the direction that I wanted to go. And I'm actually getting sideways on myself. But there's people that email you. There's people that I talk to via chat. There's people that I this and that. Alan, you're totally old school, right? You have a phone, right? And people call you. And if you call them,
I guess they call it snail mail nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. You use the post office type thingy. But the but I get emails from, oh man, they're pretty funny. You know, sometimes they're just totally wackadoo, and sometimes they're just great. And I kind of like it. We had a person here in Fredericksburg, Texas. Her name was Nancy Battle. And she may or may not be listening. Who knows? You know, we had a lot of people here in Fredericksburg that used to listen to Republic Broadcasting back when it was on the air, the radio thingy. But, you know, now I don't know how many people spend their time and effort to try to reach out and, well, listen to what they used to listen
to. Get informed.
Get informed. Because you have to take some personal responsibility that direction, you know, nowadays for me. My radio is about, okay, I got this little app, and I will open it up, and it's one app for all my radio shows, and that's it. I'm okay with I'm installing this program because I need it to listen to something. So I listen to Republic Broadcasting on it, and whatever. Anyways, man, that's I'm a little bit congested to this morning. Wonder if I'm going to die. No, that ain't going to happen. I got an email from a person named Eleanor White, right? And I've been getting emails from her for a long, long time. And she's a lot like our local Nancy Battle. And our local Nancy Battle, this lady, would send out emails about all sorts of things. She wasn't just an email warrior. She was a regular, you know, they got to hear about this. And she went to our city council and she said, hey, you guys got to understand this thing called Agenda 21. And, you know, they and them are coming in. Gonna manipulate you. Oh, my God. It was just a breath of fresh air watching your city council people just like going, oh, what the hell is she saying? I don't believe this. When's the Indy 500 start? Right. They don't want to talk about it. They talk about the weather, whatever, look at her, you know, say she's like crazy. Well, after she did this, our little town of Fredericksburg kind of, well, they upped the pressure against us, brought in a new city manager that was totally ichlified. Is that a word?
Ringer from the West Coast. That had just done battle against Agenda 21, yeah.
Yeah, West Coast greenie weenie, you know, they sold the newspaper, put another newspaper with other assets and more resources towards, you know, pushing the common agenda of, yeah.
Kent,
I don't know.
Kent Edson Cook is an Agenda 21 operative if ever there was one, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess and whatever. So E-Raven 1. She sends out these emails, and they're interesting, right? And then sometimes they cross good subjects. Alan and I were discussing possibilities for the show this last week and so forth, and he'd mentioned that he talked to V, right? V has this show on. It's called The Red Pill. It's on late night radio, and I love the late night. Right. You know, if you're not doing anything and you're listening to late night radio and B's show, The Red Pill, just incredible. He belongs in that spot. And people get like, well, the subject matter that he talks about is tough. right? Because you have to actually ask yourself, what do I believe is true, right? What is true? So if I were to tell you that there's a thing called a targeted individual, would you believe me? A lot of people wouldn't, right? They'll just go, oh, God, what are you talking about? Crazy people? You're all, well, okay, maybe, but maybe not, right? Can you actually say maybe not? I can. You know, I've run into people that have told me that they were targeted individuals. And that's even before I even met Republic Broadcasting, right? Found any of y'all, you know, and I said, huh, okay, what are you saying? You know, and I asked them, you know, so tell me about this. What happens? And in his case, his television set would talk to him. And I go, that's fascinating. Okay, I got to go. And it wasn't a blowing him off thing. And then, you know, in my research, I bumped into the fact that, well, bidirectional communications through cathode ray tubes was possible and done in World War II, in the Cold War. So if it was possible back then, hell, it could be possible. You know, but when I told him that, he goes, oh, and then his boss said, oh, Steve, you don't talk to him about that because, you know, he's a little bit sideways. He's crazy. Don't talk to him about that. Damn. Okay, fine. But is it real? Was he crazy? Was it real? Right. So I'm open to talking about it. Right. The government has done.
And Steve, you know, the thing about TIs, they run the gamut from people who've formerly worked for intelligence agencies, or a lot of them seem to have been. You know, some type of a non-governmental employer, a public-private partnership, you know, working for, you know, the government, but not working for the government. A lot of them seem to be that, but there's also people that just seem to be chosen at random. You know, I believe every one of them? No, some people are just crazy, but some of them, I believe, you know, I haven't experienced it, but I believe, yes, I know, I understand technology and what could be done, and I'm really happy that I'm not experiencing it, but I don't think every one of them is crazy, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, definitely. I don't know. We had an individual call in here 2 months ago that was talking about his TI experiences, and, you know, I really do appreciate that call, you know, but I don't really want to. I'm interested in talking some more with V. Last year on Halloween, he had a great show, his best show ever. Well, you know, I only heard like a handful or maybe half a dozen of his shows. But, you know, he had a wonderful Halloween show. And he talked about his experiences being a targeted individual. And I had the luxury, blessing of sitting there in the middle of the night, in the middle of the field, trying to go to sleep in the back of my van, listening to V talk about his problems with electronic eavesdropping is what really seems like he was talking about. But I'm slipping, but not really. You know, I was telling you about Eleanor White, and I was telling you about V. Now, we're trying to book him somewhere in the next coming couple of weeks, right? But serendipitously, man, don't use big words, Steve. As it happens, I get this email from Eleanor White, and Eleanor White is talking about the, I'm not going to read the whole email, but the email is about this. Here's the start. As a non-medically trained, educated person, I can't assess the potential importance of a natural medicine tip I just heard on the radio. And it says, I'm not reading good this morning. My eyes are just really screwed up. Here's the deal. Lauren from Ohio called in to John Stadtmiller's show during the week on May 22nd or 27th during the second hour. If you want to listen to it, you know, it's over in the archives. I'll drop that into the chat room if you want as well. republicoftexas.chattango.com. And it seems that V's having some kind of a problem with calcium buildup on the spine. I haven't actually listened to the the show yet, or I don't know much about it. Maybe you guys know a little bit about it, but anyways.
Yeah, Lauren makes up, she's an herbalist. She makes up, she can make up these little capsules, and she sent me some of them. It's called Caldex, I believe, is the one that's supposedly, you know, to help get rid of calcium deposits and everything. And yeah, you know, I can't say whether they actually work or not. I believe Lauren, yes, but you know, I've always been in sickeningly good health, you know, so yeah, that kind of stuff sometimes doesn't, I don't seem to notice the effect, but you know, I can't say for sure, but yeah, I believe she can help people.
Yeah. And that's what Eleanor White, you know, is saying. And she was just raising the flag and said, hey, I want to hear more about what the heck, right? So what did you call that? Lauren was talking about, the Calcimex?
She's got it labeled as Caldex.
Okay.
It's an herbal. You know, she gets her big witch's cauldron out there, and they you know, grind up potions and everything, and you know, little eye of Newton, you know, wing of bat and stuff like that. And I don't know what she puts in it, but you know, she's learned. She's a naturalist. She went to school. She's a sharp lady.
There you go. And Skype too. Sorry, I'm typing over to.
And you know, I did actually. You know, I don't know. Some people heard me. I called Statmiller's show when B was on there, and I kind of went on a rant. And, you know, sometimes this stuff just builds up, and then he got my number, and he called me a couple of days ago. He called me, and I talked with him for 30, 45 minutes, kind of apologized for my rant, but he kind of understood, and he's fun to talk with. And another person's fun to talk with. You know, one of our callers, Mike, in Kentucky. I called him, talked with him till like midnight last night. He's just a hoot to talk to. Mike, we can go any direction on any subject. He's real fun to talk with.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember the first. I think I remember some of our first calls with Mike. Well, anyways, let me finish off this little thing for Eleanor White. Eleanor White thinks that, well, maybe B, if you're listening out there in digital universe, maybe you want to think about talking to Lauren or something like that. But I don't want to. I'm not a doctor. I don't know any of this stuff. But it's out there. You know, thank you, Eleanor White, for caring about people. That's pretty cool. You know, but that's the ecosystem of the alternate media. We're not focused on, I don't know, we still want to help people. People won't take your help most of the times if you try to help them. So, you know, sometimes you get, you know, thrown off. But here in Fredericksburg, and we're going to be moving along. We've got a lot to cover today. We're going to be doing Alan's Corner at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to be talking about Dr. Mary's monkey. Right, Alan? You figured out that's what we're doing?
Yeah, I was just going to do a little selective reading, you know, just to kind of get people, you know, whet their appetites. Or, you know, once again, it's one of those books that, you know, I think I got mine in like 2007, something like that. Or no, it was written in 2007. I got it shortly thereafter. I think I ordered it from the Power Hour, you know, when Joyce was still around. And a lot of people have heard about this book, but it's real intriguing because it's not just about monkeys and viruses. There's other things involved in it.
Oh, my God, it's so deep. But that'll be at the bottom of the hour, right? For now, we're going to try to make it through this little half-hour chunk and hit all the points that I kind of wanted to hit. Oh, man. So Fredericksburg's a crazy place, right? And I don't know how to – we tell you about it all the time. And it's beautiful, and it sucks. Maybe it's just like your place. You know, at one time when I first got here, it was an incredible place. You know, I met all these, what you call patriots, and I don't want to say that with disdain, right? Not at all, right? People that are interested in, well, taking care of their own, they're Ron Paulers, which kind of classifies a person pretty well. If you're really, don't hurt me, don't touch my stuff or take my stuff type person.
And a lot of the locals were actually still locals at that time, yeah.
Yeah, and they're changed. And we had Joyce Riley, when she was with the Power Hour, when she was alive, she came here, what, twice, I think it was, Alan?
Face-to-face, talked to her for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, okay, that's weird. especially for me being from California and all of a sudden didn't want to go to Texas, right? And then I get here and all of a sudden I'm in the vortex of this, you know, alternate media type, whoa, where am I, Scotty? You know, I don't know. But it was wonderful. We had this guy. He was a late night radio host from Genesis Communications at first, right? He used to go back to back with Alex Jones over there on the network. His name was Big John Lipscomb. And he was a neat voice in the middle of the night. And you'd listen to him, and he did not play the game the way everybody else did. And he talked about the stuff that he wanted to talk about. And he ruffled feathers, right? And I appreciated that. He told me stories that I've never, you know, quite heard before, right, in ways. And so I was just really blessed, and something happened, right? That's the one thing about alternate, you know, radio, alternate media. Something always happens. Somebody always gets butt hurt. Somebody always gets, and somebody always, and it always
you tend to think that most of the people that are listening to this that want to participate in it are good people, but you know, folks, there are turds and punch bowls all over the place.
They are. I, you know, I'm still with that, but then people fight and get hurt and whatever, and we just have to move on from a lot of that kind of stuff and not deal with it. Anyways, I lost him. He disappeared from the radio. I lost him. You lost him. If you didn't hear him, you never got it, right? But it was an incredible journey. And last week, Alan called me up and said, hey, guess who I just heard? And he's a Big John Lipscomb. And I'm going like, really? He's like, yeah, he guest hosted over at the Power Hour. And I go, I got to listen to that, because it's been 10, 12 years since I've heard this voice in the wilderness. And do I really even remember who the heck this guy was? Or is that just my memory kind of like clouding over and making something into something
Once again, Steve, I met him face to face, and Big John is a good term for him. Because he's like 6'7", 280 pounds. He's a big boy.
I met him too. I was at the same event. I don't think we were friends really that much at that time. That was a long time ago. 10, 12 years ago, I knew who you were. I rode my dang bicycle over to the Ag building because they were selling seeds over there and talking. I forget who was there, Big John, but I heard it on the radio going like, really? I can meet this guy in person? He's coming to Fredericksburg. Wow. And all I knew him is the storyteller, right, that was on the air, and he sold seeds. And the way he sold seeds was different than other people. I liked his methodology, at least the way that he talked about it. Bought some seeds, got this little box of seeds, right? And it had all, I can't remember the varieties. Frelenschlusch was one, right?
Frelenschlusch lettuce, rattlesnake beans, Samuel Jackson bush beans, you know, bloody butcher corn, types of okra, you know, that were kind of tailored for this environment, you know?
Right.
The seeds the packages of seeds that you got from Big John, it wasn't like you pay, you know, $5 for a little package of seeds and you opened up and there's like 10 seeds in there the size of a pinhead. You know, you got enough seeds to last you for a couple of years if you couldn't even propagate your own seeds. So he gave you a good deal.
It was good. So it was fun meeting him live and in person. You know, that way it was pretty amazing. But he was on the Power Hour, and I'll go ahead and throw links in if you guys liked Big John. I'm going to try to get him on the radio. Unfortunately, he's kind of going to be a little bit, we can find him, right? You know, there's got to be a route to him. But he's more like Alan than any, you know, than me. I'm like, I'll email him, Alan. I really want him on. But I can't guarantee he gives a crap about email because he's in the real world. He doesn't watch TV. You know, he's been a survivalist. He's about what's around him. And unless I can find
He actually moved his family to the mountains in Montana and lived off-grid in a little freaking cabin. They almost froze to death several years. And he said, I guess I wasn't that good a fisherman or anything because we almost starved a couple of times.
Yeah, he said numerous times, if I remember right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But when he came down, you know, he enjoyed Fredericksburg. What kind of time do we have right now? Hey, Sam, if you got time, let's play the clip of Big John talking about Fredericksburg, and then we'll move on.
Fredericksburg, Texas. I fell in love with that city the moment I entered it and walked down this long street where there were artists and all sorts of small businesses, and the people were just so genuine and nice. So I looked at my wife and I said, maybe we move down here. I mean, we love the weather.
Mm-hmm. There we go, talking about the weather again. You know, it always goes there. But what Big John did kind of portray there, what I saw in Fredericksburg 12 years ago, it's not the same anymore.
Changed a lot.
You know, yeah, it's not the same anymore. And it's different. Because one of the reasons I successfully actually made it out of California, and I guess made it out of California means I'm still, well, I'm sane. You know, I have peace in my heart. I'm okay, even though the world's going to hell around me, was because I got to Texas where people were nice. And I found it was weird walking around Fredericksburg. If you were to walk around Main Street, walk into a store, and people would smile and say hello, we'd hold doors, wouldn't look all weird at everybody.
But when you were driving on the roads and you came up behind someone who was doing under the speed limit, they would pull off on the shoulder of the road to let you go around them instead of holding you up. Yes, courteous.
Everything's changed. You know, that subculture of be nice to people, be good to people is still here. Right? But it's been...
But they actually made that illegal,
Steve.
They actually made that illegal to pull off under the shoulder to let someone go around you so they wouldn't get road rage. You know?
Yeah, they design the roads now so people won't be nice to each other. It's like, really? What kind of a, you know... But that's the government doing that. That's not the people. Right? And I don't want to push blame towards any direction, but Fredericksburg has changed. That's the whole thing. You know, Big John would have been disappointed. I don't know. Maybe disappointed.
We could probably beat San Francisco, except for there aren't people crapping right on the front doorsteps right now, and there's not heroin junkies shooting up right on Main Street, as far as I know. That's about the only difference. I've never really been to San Francisco, but from everything I hear, that's about the only thing that we don't have that San Francisco does have. So,
yeah. I'm not. You can't compare.
We got drunk stumbling everywhere.
But we got drunks stumbling everywhere, too, right? We're a tourist mecca. I find it fascinating that, you know, I come from San Francisco over at the place called Little Italy. And we had all these signs. And, I got home from work and walked down to go get some food. And there's always two drunk girls sitting right on the corner hugging each other. You know, I love you. And, you know, you're the bestest ever. And they're like, oh, crap. You guys doing that speech again? Okay, have fun. I'm going to go get a taco. But they didn't do that. Tacos and Little Italy. We ate all sorts of other stuff. But what I was saying is really wanted to kind of touch on this place. And the absurdity of it. Sometimes I've never really been big into looking at Lamborghinis or Porsche. I mean, they were neat cars, but they didn't exist in my reality. Here in Fredericksburg, Texas, you could see some of the coolest pickup trucks and the stupidest ones too, which I love as much. And then here comes some kind of $200,000 super snotty four-wheel drive Lexus Lotus. You're like, what the hell is that? It looks pretty fancy, but I'd hate to have it worked on, you know, because it's, wow, that's a car.
Folks, I live out in the country, and when I drive into town, if I did meet a truck, it would be like a GMC or a Ford or a Dodge or something. Now when I drive into town, I encounter Porsches, Cadillac Escalades, various other little fancy doodad cars.
Hang on, we got to hit that brake. Be right back, folks. Republic of Texas Radio. When it does, I know it's on its way.
truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. And yeah, we'll get, it's time to shift to Alan's Corner.
A reading from Al's Corner.
Is it Al's Corner? Okay. Go ahead. Do the Al's Corner thing. What do you, we told you what you're reading. You want to?
Yeah. And it's kind of talk about serendipity. I called up Steve and I said, you know, this week, if when I do a reading, I want to do it from the Book of the Monkey. And I said, that would be Dr. Mary Sherman's monkey. And he said, I was going to call you and ask you if you would read something about that book. And but, so this is a reading from a book called Dr. Mary's Monkey, How the Unsolved Murder of a Doctor, a Secret Laboratory in New Orleans, and Cancer-Causing Monkey Viruses are Linked to Lee Harvey Oswald, the JFK Assassination, and Emerging Global Epidemics, by Edward T. Haslam, forward by Jim Mars. Here's just a short section I picked out here to read here, and I'll try to read it. Not quite as fast, but fast enough to get it done here. In the late 1960s, I heard about Mary Sherman's connection to an underground medical laboratory run by a suspect in the murder of President Kennedy. I was told they were using monkey viruses to create cancer. The possibility of this being used as a biological weapon was clear. The dark specter of unleashing a designer virus on the world haunted me. I even offered a sarcastic comment at the time. The good news is, if there's a bizarre global epidemic involving cancer and a monkey virus 30 years from now, at least we'll know where it came from. In 1971, during what, well, I'll skip this. He talks about, you know, talking with his father, who was a head of orthopedic surgery, I believe, at the Tulane Medical University. And he talks about, you know, talking to his dad, you know, about, will you tell me about this? And, you know, he says, I persisted. You know, I wanted to know why he would not tell me. Solemnly, he said, there might be repercussions. I have to think about the family first. I have to protect them. You know, what if I figured it out myself? I challenged. I'm hardly in a position to stop you, he said, with the casual resignation of a man who never expected to see another football game. His father was dying. Then he collected his thoughts, and in a grave voice, he gave me this warning. Ed, I need you to listen to me carefully. I will not be able to say this to you again. If you do figure out what happened down there and decide to tell the world what you found, I need you to realize that you will be crossing swords with the most powerful people in our country, and you should think twice before crossing them. Okay? The 1980s ushered in the epidemics that I had feared in the 1960s. Major increase in soft tissue cancers. That's about when it started, folks. The mainstream scientific community stated that AIDS was caused by the unexplained mutation of a monkey virus. Can you say gain of function in today's lexicon? They estimated the date of the mutation to be around the 1960s. The logical question, who had been mutating monkey viruses around 1960, was not even asked in the press. And yes, I was concerned about what I had heard in New Orleans. It all sounded so similar. Could there be a connection? And if there was there any point in speaking up about it? Trade places with me for a moment. If you were in my shoes, would you have? I went to medical libraries and read scientific articles hoping to find facts that would make my fears unfounded. He tried to disprove it. I was anxious to find a flaw in my own argument, which would enable me to walk away from a project that was starting to consume all of my free time. I did not find the flaw, but I did find something else. As I pored over the official cancer statistics from the National Cancer Institute, I saw the dimensions of the massive epidemic of soft tissue cancers that had swept our country, an epidemic that had all been ignored by our watchdog press, an epidemic that could reasonably be explained by the cancer-causing monkey viruses that had contaminated the polio vaccine of my youth. Whatever I felt my options were prior to that moment, they suddenly narrowed. I also noticed that names connected to the polio vaccine were names connected to Mary Sherman and to the investigation of the JFK assassination. I began to suspect that these secrets were somehow intertwined. A web of secrecy surrounded our national health, interlocking secrets that protected each other, secrets which prevented serious accountability problems for the people in power. I remember the warning my father had given me. I could see how unwelcome this news would be in many circles. And I'll skip a couple of paragraphs here. Our story comes from a fermenting mash of science, secrecy, patriotism, power, paranoia, and extremism. It is not a pretty picture. It involves death, disease, covert wars, and the quiet hand of power. In our past sit innocent people who I'm sure would prefer not to be involved. I apologize to them in advance. Then there are others who claim to have forgotten everything, but they... everything they know about this matter, or who know but refuse to talk. To them, I offer no apology. This story casts a shadow that is so dark and so long that I've chosen to tell it simply. Some have said the nightmarish quality of an anxiety dream. I prefer to see it in a different light. It is, as songwriter Jackson Brown once said, the fitful dream of some greater awakening. We are just beginning to wake up to the responsibility of being a free society. It is much more complicated than dropping bombs on an obvious enemy. It is time we begin to question what the people of power did with the trust and money we gave them. I doubt we will ever hear the Surgeon General stand up at a press conference and acknowledge this operation. This one still possesses serious accountability problems for those who hold positions of power. Further, it comes from the land of unvouchered expenditures, where the trails of accountability were obscured by professionals decades ago. There are reasons for such secrecy, powerful reasons. Reasons capable of destroying careers and toppling governments. A full exposure here would threaten the treasure of our nation's wealthiest corporations, the reputations of some of the powerful political figures of the day, and the precious confidence we gave our national institutions. While we can understand why they kept these matters secret, we have a different goal. Our task is to unmask these secrets because they are hidden from us for reasons, powerful reasons. Reasons that affect decisions being made today. Reasons that involve politics and medicine. reasons that affect our health and ultimately our freedom. To investigate such secrecy is a formidable task. We tread lightly, for we walk upon tender ground, over the bones of children, through sour rooms of tumor-bearing mice, into the blood-stained bedroom of one of our nation's most respected cancer researchers. It is here we search for knowledge that was not meant to be known. We will use published sources and official records as best we can. At times, we examine these more closely and in greater detail than anyone before us. We must be prepared to look beyond the official paper trail and to use less certain methods to find our way. Methods like oral history, personal testimony, feeble press accounts, censored government documents, and our own capable and curious intellects. Complicating our task further is the catastrophic flood of 2005 that followed Hurricane Katrina. Irreplaceable documents, like the crime scene photos, and precious physical evidence, like the bloodstained gloves found in Mary Sherman's apartments, which could still yield DNA or other clues, may have been lost forever when the waters of Lake Pontchartrain engulfed the city of New Orleans. Yet we can proceed with what we do know. As you will see, plenty of evidence has been collected previously. You will find this book as much of a personal odyssey as a journalistic work. But that's what happens when you investigate a murder only to discover an epidemic. Either way, the destination is the same. I will tell you why I am deeply suspicious of certain activities that occurred in New Orleans in the 1960s, and why you should be too. We will begin with what I personally saw and heard over the years. To that, we add years of research. Then we get questions. Fair and honorable questions. Questions which deserve answers. Questions which have their own purpose, their own energy, even their own dignity. Questions which will eventually help us coax this Orwellian monster out of its swamp of secrecy. So ends the reading from the Book of the Monkey.
Wow. That's crazy. You know, that book was, sometime in the early 60s. Dr. Mary, you know, Dr. Mary Sherman, she died in 1964, and they don't know what exactly happened, but some say, you know, there's a bunch of different stories. And there's another book called
High Energy Particle Accelerators for one of them, yes.
Yeah, Me and Lee is another one of those books that talk about it. And, you know, it's funny, we were talking about targeted individuals, and here we're telling a similar story. It's kind of like MK Ultra, but the medical edition, right? The nutshell Dr. Mary's monkey concept starts like, well, the U.S. government wanted to kill Castro. And that's in a nutshell. And they started a gain-of-function experiments to get there. People say that Dr. Mary Sherman, she didn't know about it. Some people said she couldn't have not known about it. Some say that, you know, once she became aware of it, she tried to get out, and there is no getting out. She had a little lab rat boy that worked for her, and his name was Dr. Fauci. And he would manage the monkeys.
Well, kind of similar. His name was actually David Ferry, a little freak that wore an orange wig and painted his eyebrows on with a makeup pencil. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, I've been doing a little bit of work, and maybe that's misinformation that Dr. Fauci was actually part of.
He might have been there. He's not mentioned in this book, but he might have been there.
He's not mentioned in that book, but Alan, you know, I've seen a lot of other stuff. Doesn't mean that it's correct, right? But They talk about Fauci, and that was one of the reasons I actually thought about Dr. Mary's monkey, because Fauci back in the day was very influential in pushing AIDS on people, right, and getting people to, and I don't know, I mean, they're like, oh yeah, he's a good guy, he helped stop people with AIDS. He's not a good guy, and you can tell a good guy, and Fauci's not a good guy. So when you look at him, you look at his age, you place him back there, and they're placing him back, they being the internet sleuths that are sitting there following on the paper trail, you know, that Dr. Mary's monkey laid out for you. You know, you can look at this stuff, you want the evidence, you can probably find it, but what good does it do you? Right? Do you know that your government did MK Ultra on people? They did all sorts of things.
And right? Steve, the way they did this, see, this is another one of those things where it's not an official governmental operation. It's like a lot of the other stuff. you know, they ship this stuff off to different universities around the country. Mm-hmm. And if it's not
and
done at that university, it's done at some institute that's connected with the university. So there's no paper trail directly back to the government, which, you know, even if you believe the Constitution is still in play, would be totally unconstitutional. So they just farm it out.
Right. So some poor scientist like Mary Sherman, you know, goes, well, I am interested.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I am interested
very, very
in finding
students.
Out why cells destroy themselves. Right. And you're like, okay, once we figure out why cells destroy themselves and replicate, you know, then maybe we can stop them from, you know, destroying themselves and replicating. Right. You know, that would probably be my thought. But their idea for Dr. Mary's monkey is we need an instant cancer. And, well, we postulate that that's out there. What is it? Pancreatic cancer. People die like kaboom.
A lot of the people in the Patriot world that are trying to get information out seem to die from this instant 24-hour pancreatic cancer. Kind of like what happened to, who was that guy's name? Jack Rubenstein? Yeah.
Ruby?
Yeah.
Oh.
Died of an instant cancer. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. And that's connected again to Dr. Mary's monkey through Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged killer.
And the Louisiana Mafia. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fascinating. You know, and we can even tie this crap into Fredericksburg, Texas. Because Fredericksburg, Texas, they have this little place down the street. Down the road, we say, and it's Johnson City, Lyndon P. Johnson. I think it's P. I don't really
Lyndon
give
B.
a crap.
Lyndon Bain. It's a B.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a P because I don't give a P or something, whatever. But he was involved, right? You know, he took over control of the world after Kennedy got snuffed out by someone. You know, they
you talk
say
about
it's
gain
Lee
of
Harvey.
Function. Yeah, you talk about gain of function. When Kennedy died, he got a big gain of function.
Oh, yeah. He got to do the Biden show, right? You know, what do you want me to do?
Steve, you can vouch for this. If you say anything negative about Lyndon Baines Johnson anywhere around this town, you're damn near running out of town on a rail.
Well, depends what group that you talk about him. I was over at the Lyndon B. Johnson State Park over here doing some work for one of the seasonal workers that showed up. They have like a travel trailer, and I'm also, what's this gig like? Well, they don't charge me to park here, and I just volunteer a couple days a week, and then I don't have to pay for it. Right. No. So what do you do? Well, we talk about Lyndon B. Johnson and this and that. And I'm like, oh, so you know all the history? She says, well, I know the history and I know what they want me to say. And I said, that's great. I'm all, you know, he was an asshole. Oh, God.
Found
that
one that
guy
can see.
Is terrible. And I'm like, oh, OK. So how does that feel telling all these people, you know, smoke screen? She says, I just get free rent, you know, so, you know, I'm going to move on here in a little bit, but for now I'm here in Texas and, you know, and I'm like, okay, but they know, people know Lee Harvey Oswald worked with, Mary Sherman, Dr. Mary Monkey. Really? You're like, oh God, the guy that killed him. He is a interesting character, throughout time. You know, they have him out there promoting Castro and denouncing Castro on the next day. It was kind of his MO. What kind of a spook that guy was. You know, I have no idea. And is that even true? You know, does it even matter? I don't know.
Lee Harvey Oswald, at Sugi Air Force Base in Japan. I mean, he was CIA all the time. He was just a CIA dupe, you know, sheep dipper. Whatever you want to call him, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he was smarter than what he, you know. We like to believe that he was a real stupid person. I guess it's even postulating what position Lee Harvey Oswald was. Was he a smart man? Was he a stupid man? Did he get, you know, don't matter. He's there. Fauci was there, right? I'd say it. I wanted somebody to tell me that I'm wrong, right? That's great. well, you know, was Fauci involved with Dr. Mary Sherman? Is that true? From what I've read on the internet, it sure looks like they're pointing that he was there doing gain of function research on producing cancer. Right? And so that makes sense that he kept going forward, and it makes sense that he was in charge of the department that, and I don't know where that coronavirus cold came from. You know, I know you guys want to call it a virus and you want to do this and that. And I know Art told me that it's not a flu because the coronavirus strains are cold. So it's a modified super cold that was, you know, made. Okay. No, did the U.S. make it? Well, maybe. I remember back in early or late 99, we were looking at the fact that the U.S. was making it, right? And we were making it in Canada, and we were making it in Wuhan. I don't know. Can you prove it? Does it even matter if you prove it? Hold on. We'll be right back, folks. Republic of Texas Radio.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. So here
we fight all through. All right. We're back. Yeah, I guess what does it really matter? You know, nobody cares about the truth. Well, they do care about the truth, but they tell you multiple truths. You know, the Wuhan virus, right? The China virus, whatever you want to call it, however you want to label it, right? At first, it was all this crazy, stupid story of people eating bats and what the hell's a wet market and, you know, all this stuff. And oh, then no, it couldn't have come from that biotech research firm. you know, back there, well, it's not a firm, it's the communists, right? They own everything that's Chinese. And they got funded by Dr. Fauci. You know, Rand Paul showed you a piece of paper and he goes, well, your money went over there, dude. You know, so what's the deal? Oh, I don't know anything about that. You know, that lying ass. Wow, really?
I've got a recording of him sitting up there being grilled, and he basically says, duh, I don't know nothing.
I don't know nothing. You know, and that's why he's the highest paid person in the government, because he can say that, you know, with a straight face. He can lie to you twice in the same day, same breath. And you go,
thank
what?
Thank you, Smith Munt Remodernization Act.
Oh, my
They can
God.
Lie to us straight out without any repercussions. They can do it to us straight up with no repercussions possible at all. It's like the vaccine manufacturers have no liability for what they create. You know, the press has no liability for anything they say because they cannot be prosecuted for straight out lying to us anymore. Not even the chance of it.
You know, in the movie The Matrix, at one part, maybe part two or something like that, the one guy is like, I'm sick of the real world. I want to go back, right? Can I go back in? And he makes a deal with the devil, right, or the computer, as it were, in the movie. And they said, yeah, you can go back. You can be the president. You can be Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, okay. Yeah, screw them humans. You know, it must be an interesting thought when you everything comes down and you go, it's just futile. I think I want to go watch the Indy 500 today and just forget about it. I don't want to hear about Dr. Mary's monkey. Right, I don't really need to think about that because Dr. Mary's monkey is telling you things that are happening today, right?
And
how many years?
You know, I heard a good analogy for what we see around us. You know, like I said, you know, everyone's seen, you know, what do they call them, 3D pictures or something like that, you know, where you have to, like, squint your eyes and look at it through your peripheral vision and unfocus on it. And all of a sudden, it's like this out of this jumble of looks just like crap. All of a sudden, like, this unicorn pops out. And once you see it, it's like you can open your eyes up and you can see it plain as day. You've learned how to see. You know, you put the sunglasses on, whatever analogy you want to make, and you try to explain it to other people and try to get them to do it. You can even sit there with your finger and make an outline of the unicorn and say, it's right here. And they can't or they refuse to see it. Either their mind is so entrained by today's world or they're afraid to see it. And they'll grab the picture. There's nothing on there, and they'll rip the damn thing up and shred it to pieces because they can't see it or they don't want to see it.
Hey, man, it's very nice weather here.
Beautiful. It's 75 degrees outside right now. Normally
yeah.
In Texas, by March, we've had, you know, a month of 100-degree weather, and I wasn't going to say anything because now they'll probably turn on the heat, but...
Yeah, well, I was just teasing the weather because that's what people do when you're trying to talk about something serious. Anyways, folks, hang on. If all works out, I have a little announcement for all you satellite listeners and maybe a special guest. Let's see if he shows up this week. But and it's a secret. Can't tell you, you know, little pinky swear or something like that. Hang on, I'll be right back.
That message.
Oh, yeah, that was cryptic enough. Be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855 the